I'm glad you're here this morning. We're so glad Carolyn is back, and you should have brought your blanket with you because this is freezing in here. So we're going to shiver together. But as Missy said, first world problems. Hey, we don't have problems, do we? So let's open with a word of prayer, and we're going to jump right in. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the blessing of the day, for the beauty of the day, for every home represented sitting in this room. Father, we come to you now because we are hungry to know your word, to be encouraged by your word, to be built up in your word. We come because we want to grow in regards to our faith. We just want to be women who are on mission, living for you. We want to be wise women who understand your principles. And as we study this morning about being strong spiritually out of 2 Timothy, I pray, Father, that you will take this lesson and that it will help us, that it will encourage us, that it will give us pictures of what being strong spiritually will mean in our lives. And I pray that you will just let it land upon our hearts and use it to exhort us and to build us up. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm so glad y'all are here this morning. We're going to jump right back into our study. We're in 2 Timothy this morning, and we're in chapter 2. And I began this lesson last week, and I'll just start with a little bit of a review. We find when we get to the book of 2 Timothy that Paul had taken Timothy to Ephesus, and then he's going to leave Timothy there. And in 1 Timothy, he says, now, Timothy, I want you to set things in order here in this church. This church needed some leadership. This church needed a lot. It was a very difficult ministry for Timothy. And Timothy is young. And Paul is old. In fact, Paul is at the end of his ministry. In fact, this is the very last letter that he will write before his death. And Timothy is his young son in the faith. They've been together for a while. He's been pouring into Timothy. He's been discipling Timothy. And now he's going to pass the baton to Timothy. And Timothy is going to pick up in the ministry. And there is a lot at stake in Timothy's life. And as I was studying this morning, I was thinking about our lives. There's a lot at stake in our lives, right? Think about the people who are under you, who you are passing the baton to. And so their very spiritual lives, the way you're pouring into them, it's very important that you stay at it, that you don't get discouraged. Do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever just get tired? Do you ever just want to sit down? Just quit? Everybody's saying, yeah, but you can't. And the reason why is there's too much at stake. There's just too much at stake. And it's easy for us to be weak, to be disillusioned, to be fearful. And that's because life can be hard. Have you experienced that? Life can just be plain out tough. And the truth is, we're just humans, aren't we? We're not some super strength. That's exactly where Timothy is. I want you just to get in his skin and feel what he's feeling. And so Paul is going to give him a command, an exhortation. He's going to speak to Timothy with authority. So look at it with me on your handout at verse 1. And it says there, you, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, Timothy, you've got to live the kind of life that experiences the power of God. The power of God is available to you. It's available to us. And then to help us understand what a strong Christian life that's strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What, Teresa, what does that look like? I mean, you know, I'm just going to exhort you, be strong this morning. Well, you want to say, well, Teresa, what does that look like? How do I get there? And so Paul is going to give him four pictures of what a strong spiritual life looks like. And we saw last week in our lesson, the first picture was a teacher. So put that on your handout. Timothy, if you're going to be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to be a teacher. Now, look at verse 2. And Timothy said, Paul says to Timothy, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. Now, you've got to remember that what he's hearing from Paul is actually the Scripture, right? Paul is going to be the writer of the New Testament Scripture. And so what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In other words, Timothy, you're going to have to see yourself in the role of a teacher. And we're going to have to see ourselves. We've been entrusted with truth, and now we have to pass that on. We have to be teachers. We've got to guard the purity of the truth, and then we've got to give it away. There's no place for Timothy or for us to drop the ball. There's too much at stake. Don't get out of line, because we're all links in a living chain. And so look back at that verse. Who is he to give the truth to? And notice with me, he's to give it to faithful men. Those who are faithful. Now, that speaks of character. Timothy, I want you to give it to people who are loyal, who are trustworthy. A strong believer, then, is one who has the truth, who guards the truth, and who gives the truth away. Now, let's write down a few things. What is that going to involve? If I'm going to be strong, see myself as a teacher, bottom line, here's what it involves. Number one, I've got to be a diligent student of Scripture myself. I'm going to have to know it. So that's the first thing that's going to call me to. And then it's going to involve next being faithful to articulate Scripture. I'm going to have to talk about it with people. I'm going to have to know it, and then I'm going to have to speak it. Number three, I'm going to have to be loyal to the Scripture. I'm going to have to be loyal to the Scripture. And then the last thing I want you to write down as a way of just a bottom line, it's going to involve me training others who can train others. Now, all of us are to be doing this. We're to be passing it on. And we spent our whole time last week on that very first one picture. Now, we're ready to move on. We're going to cover three more pictures this morning. And so go to verses 3 and 4, and let's see what the next picture is. Suffer hardship with me, Paul says, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Number two picture is a call to be a soldier. So write that down. Now this morning, I'm looking out at you, and I'm going to tell you this morning, you're a teacher and you're a soldier. And notice it says, go back to verse 3, you don't want to just be any kind of old soldier. What kind of soldier do you want to be? You want to be a good soldier. A good soldier. That word good, it's a beautiful word in the Greek, and I want to tell you what it means. It means noble. Noble. It means excellent. I want you to be a noble soldier. I want you to be an excellent soldier. You're not just to enlist and, you know, go through the motions and do your duty. No, you're to be excellent. You're to be noble. Listen, you're to be heroic. the kind of soldiers who are rewarded, the ones who wear the medals, the ones that are recognized for their valor and their honor. This is what Paul is calling Timothy to be. Now listen and consider this statement this morning. Christianity, it's not a spectator sport. You don't just come and sit in the on the sidelines and watch it happen. You are to be involved. In fact, it's war. It's war. Now, I was thinking about us this morning, or as I was studying this, I don't think you and I are called to really suffer very much in our society for being a Christian. Living in Brookhaven, living in the South, we don't really suffer much. Now, there are places in our country where you would suffer if you were an out loud Christian in their culture. None of us are called to die for our faith. That's happening all over the world, but you and I aren't experiencing that, are we? I mean, we don't even really get alienated in our society because of our beliefs. We're not going to be thrown in jail because we came to church this morning, are we? And so it's easy for us in our place in history right now to not even recognize that we're in a war. But a strong Christian, a lady who's going to be strong in the grace that is hers in Christ Jesus, is going to recognize she's a soldier and she's actually involved in spiritual warfare. Now go on your handout to Ephesians 6 and let me show it to you. Verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." You see, being a soldier means you're in war. And there's a whole vast demonic spiritual warfare. There's an enemy that has schemes against us, and we've got to learn to stand firm. But it comes with recognizing this picture. I want to be strong, but it means I'm in a war, and I've got to be a good soldier. Now, what does it involve, Teresa? Well, write this on your handout. It's going to involve hardship. Put that down. Now, go back to verse 3 and look at it with me. It says in verse 3 out of 2 Timothy 2, "Suffer hardship with me." You should expect it. You should expect it. Why does it always blindside us when we have hardship? You know what? There's just some suffering that's going to go along with the territory, some hardship, and that's just how it is in war. And you need to understand that goes along with being in war. When I first came to Christ, I did not understand this. I was so new to the faith, and I thought Jesus wanted me to come to him and that he was going to take away my anxiety and difficulty and trials. I kind of was looking at it through rose-colored glasses. And I didn't really get it that the call to Christ is really a call for you to enlist and go to the front line, and your whole lifelong life is going to be a war with the forces of hell. But that's the reality. And Paul is calling Timothy, and Paul is telling us, you've got to recognize you're in a war. You're in a war. Now, let's write something else. It involves active service. Active service. That's what it says in that verse. You're always on duty. You're always on the front line. You're not on R&R. You're on duty. And then notice and write this down. We're in the war together. You and I are in the war together. So since we are all in active service all the time, then when the hard times come, we're not so surprised by it. And guess what? We're suffering along together. Now, if you think the Christian life is a life free from any conflict, then you just don't understand that you're in a war. And you know what? You'll get extremely discouraged when hard times come. And so a lot of it has to do with my thinking. I have to understand my life as a Christian is a warfare. I'm guarding truth and I'm passing it on. And I'm in a battle, I'm in a war, and it's going to go on my whole life. Now go back to verse 4 and let me share something else with you there that I want you to write down about what this kind of picture is going to involve. And it's going to involve this. It says, a soldier is not entangled with worldly things that are going to do nothing but make him vulnerable. So you're not going to be entangled. That's the word I want you to put on your handout. We should not just be living our lives for the trivial things, the things that are going to burn up. They're going to perish. It's the stuff. Doesn't the stuff just get in the way? I've been cleaning out closets this week, and I'm just telling you, I am married to the biggest pat rat.
No, yes, I am.
He never throws anything away. He has successfully filled every closet in my house. I'm serious. And I'm like, Bill, we've got to get rid of some of this stuff. If you're going to live your life on the front lines, it's going to mean you've got to become separated from the world system. A soldier is on active duty at all times, and we're to place priority on our duty as a soldier. It's a mindset. It's not easy living in our materialistic society. It's not easy for us. Now, here's something else to write on your handout about the soldier. If you are a soldier, then you're going to do what you do in order to please your commander. You want to please your commander. That's your heart. And when it all boils down, there's only one person who matters when it comes to the affirmation of what you're doing, and that is your commander-in-chief. And that is, for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there needs to be this eager, this instant, this delightful obedience to Him out of a loving respect and a loving awe of who He is. And so we're soldiers. And what does that imply? Well, we've heard the Lord's call to battle. We've joined the fight. We understand we're on the front lines. We're willing to take our fair share of what comes. And not only that, we've separated ourselves from all the unnecessary entanglements of this world. And we're totally living to the audience of one. He's my audience. He's who I want approval from. Now here comes the third picture. Let's write it down. You're a teacher, you're a soldier, and here's the third picture. You're an athlete. I want to laugh at this one. I am not an athlete. But I can understand the principles of athletics. Go to verse 5. Just one little verse. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Now, it's just a basic principle here. And let's write it on your handout. If you were going to be an athlete and you're going to compete, you must keep the rules or you cannot win the prize. You cannot win the prize. It's just such a simple truth here, but it's so loaded with so much for us to understand. Now, let's write some things down, another thing down. It takes a lot of effort to be an athlete. And the effort begins long before that athletic event. Many times, I'm thinking of Olympians, they train for months and months and years for their events. And we all understand that. Now, like I said, I'm not very athletic, but I was a cheerleader in high school. That was before cheerleading was this major sport that it is now. I never could do a flip or any of that stuff. But every year we went to cheerleader camp, every summer. And our group won first place every year. We were good. And you know why we were good? That's because we practiced every day of the summer leading up to cheerleader camp. Every day, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, it was very rigorous. And we had people helping us, and we trained for that camp. And that was when I was young. Now, why did we work so hard? Why did we do it? It was because we wanted to win first place at cheer camp. And it was so important to us, and we gave it our maximum effort. And so here's the point. You want to be strong? You want to be strong, woman of faith, do you? Do you want to be strong in the grace that is yours in Christ Jesus? Well, it means you're going to have to give it your maximum effort. The strong believer is a competitor who wins, who strives to win. Now, I'm thinking about world champions. I mean, they will train 8 hours a day for their event for years. And so just inherent in this athletic metaphor, there's going to be involved a striving for your very best. And so let's, why do you do this? I mean, why do you make such a sacrifice? That's the picture here. I mean, it's a picture of self-denial and of self-sacrifice and of giving it total effort. And it's always controlled by one thing, and let's write it down. You want to win the prize. You want to win the prize. And so you have to keep the rules. Now, the Greek games, I mean, they were really into games during this time in the world. They had the Olympian games. They had the Isthmian games. I mean, men have always had their games, right? Sports. So there were three prerequisites for their games. Let's write them down because it's a good point for us to see. Number one, they had to be a true born Greek. A true born Greek in order to play. Number two, they had to prepare 10 months and they had to stand before a statue of Zeus and they had to solemnly swear, yes, I have trained for 10 months for this event, and supposedly, if they were lying, Zeus was going to strike them dead. And then number three, they had to commit not to violate any of the rules of his event. And if they broke the rules, that meant they were immediately disgraced and they were instantly disqualified. Now let's take that and apply it to the strong believer. They've got to be a genuine, true, born-again Christian. They've got to be trained in the matters of self-denial. They've got to give themselves over to full-time spiritual training, and then they've got to be eager to compete, really wanting to win, and they're motivated by this promise of reward. And so it requires effort and focus and sacrifice. And I'm just thinking about just Christians in general in America. Even us. We don't fully accomplish potentially what we could accomplish with the gifts that God has given us because we really never learn to discipline ourselves. We never give ourselves to the hard years of effort that it requires to be excellent, right? And so we're finding out this morning about being strong, and we're finding out it's going to cost us. It's going to require discipline. In fact, discipline is really a mark of spiritual maturity. And so a disciplined person, they have control of their emotions and their affections and their moods and their priorities. A disciplined person knows how to say no to the things that will take away their strength. This is a call for us to deny ourselves. All of those things belong to this metaphor, this athletic metaphor. And so Paul says, Timothy, 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 I want you to be strong. It means you're going to be a teacher and you're going to pass on truth. You're a soldier and you're going to have to recognize you're in a war. You're on the front line. So don't be discouraged. Don't be surprised when you're called to suffer. And then he says, it means that you are an athlete. And it's going to require hard work, discipline, denial, a will to win, and get the reward. And then for the last picture this morning, it comes in verse 6. And it's a farmer. So write that down. Now look at verse 6 with me. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Now, this is speaking of a planter of the soil. This farmer works hard. Now, look at that word, hardworking. I want to tell you what that word means in the Greek. It means to work to the point of exhaustion. That's the picture. It means to wear yourself out. It means to sweat and to strain. Do you get the picture? Timothy, I want you to be strong. So look at the farmer. Learn from the farmer what spiritual strength looks like. Now in the picture of the teacher, you see, the teacher just has this built-in sort of joy, and you know this if you've been a teacher, that he gains from teaching his students and seeing them grow in their knowledge. And then the soldier, he has the thrill of being in battle and experiencing victory. And then the athlete, he gets to wear the crown that he's won in his athletic event. But you look at the farmer. He's so ordinary. He gets up early, he sows. He tends, he reaps, he fights the frost, he fights the heat, too much water, not enough water. There are bugs and there are weeds, and he's patiently, every day, tending, watching, waiting for his crop to come in. And basically, that farmer does it all alone. No great excitement, no great thrill. I mean, it's just a dutiful day by day working and waiting. And it's a picture of what it looks like if you're going to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because sometimes your spiritual living is just a perpetual humdrum. I mean, it's routine. It's duty. It's day after day, month after month, year after year. You plow, you sow, you tend, you reap, you wait, you pray, you hope. And I mean, sometimes it's just plain hard work. And sometimes the crop doesn't come in the way you hoped it would come in. Now, why does the farmer do it? Why does the farmer do it? And the answer is because, look at verse 6. He is the first to receive his share of the crops. So Paul is saying, look, Timothy, the one who works the hardest gets in line first to get the fruit. That's why he does it. It's because blessing awaits the one who works hard. So this morning, do you want to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Do you? Then you're going to have to work hard. That's the message of the farmer. You're going to have to be diligent. I wonder, am I really willing to literally exhaust myself in kingdom work? truth is, the greatest rewards come to those who work the hardest. And so if we really want to have a life and a ministry that is blessed by God now in this life and also rewarded eternally, then it means I'm going to have to pour my life into it. I'm going to have to work till I'm exhausted. And so the strong Christian sees himself as a farmer. He's patient. He's watching. He's anticipating the joy of the fruit of his harvest. And one thing that makes the Christian life so exciting is because we get to share in the fruit. That's so exciting. Now, let me sum up our lesson this morning. Let's write a few things down. Each of these pictures carries the idea of self-denial. So write that down, self-denial. Now think about the teacher. He's denying himself and he's pouring his life into others in order to produce other teachers. The soldier is giving his life to produce to win the battle. The athlete is restricting his life for the sake of maximum effort, and the farmer is pouring his life literally to produce a crop. In other words, the Lord is calling us to give ourselves away. So what does that mean, Teresa? Well, it means you're going to have endurance. So write that down, endurance. It's going to involve some things. It's going to involve getting tired. It's going to involve possibly suffering. It's going to involve discipline. And then there are some things we're to avoid. Let's write those down. We're just bringing it to a bottom line now. We're going to have to avoid getting all entangled in the world. We're going to have to avoid breaking the rules. We're going to have to avoid in our lives unholiness and sin. And we also see there are some things we're going to enjoy. And so write these down. We're going to enjoy victory, and we're going to enjoy the fruit. Now, this is a very rich picture for us this morning. And Paul doesn't want Timothy to miss it, and we don't want to miss it. Go to verse 7 because it brings it to a conclusion. Paul says, Timothy, consider what I say. I want you to think about it, Timothy. That's what we're doing this morning. We're thinking about what Paul has said. Timothy, I want you to understand what I'm talking about. So let's just think about it as we close this morning. Let's ask ourselves some questions. First of all, am I a strong Christian? Do I devote myself to guarding the purity of truth and passing it on like a teacher? Do I understand that I'm a soldier? I'm involved in a battle. I'm not to be all entangled with the trivia of the world. I want to think like an athlete. Do I understand that it's going to involve discipline and self-denial and self-sacrifice and my maximum effort? And I've got to live according to the rules. Will I run to win? And then, am I like the farmer? Am I hardworking? Am I a hardworking servant? Am I sweating in producing a spiritual crop like that farmer? Consider what I say, Timothy. Are you matching up to these pictures? Now go back to verse 7. He says, if you will consider what I say, then he says this, the Lord will give you understanding. And so this morning, let's do a little personal inventory in our own lives. Let's take our lives and put them up against these four pictures. And let's ask the Lord to open our minds. Give us understanding of what's involved. Give us understanding of what we're being called to. And the last thing I want you to write down and leave you with as we close this lesson is this thought. the wonderful reality in all four of these pictures is the reality of reward. Reward. If you're a strong Christian, there is a reward. Now, I'm praying God will take this lesson and use it in our lives to make us faithful. Even though we're in this big, large room and it's so loud and it's not easy to connect, I hope you heard the message in this scripture. And I hope you'll think about it. Just like Paul said, now Timothy, stop. Think about it. You can't sit down. There's too much at stake. And with you and I, the next generation depends on us passing the baton. And it's no time for us to be lazy or to go off duty or to forget our crop or to quit teaching or to stop training. I look at our generation and I think it's time for us to be even double more giving ourselves away. So let this lesson stir you up to be strong in the grace that is available to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll give us the grace to do it. Do you believe that? He will. There's power available. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this word from Scripture. I love pictures. I love seeing something in my mind that I can apply to my life. And Lord, we just tell you in our hearts, we want to be strong teachers, guarding the truth, passing it on. We want to be like a soldier who's on the front line. We want to be training as an athlete trains, taking it seriously, denying ourselves, committed, running according to the rules. And then we want to work hard like the farmer. We want this to be a reality in our own lives, in our church. Pray you'll take our class and that our class will be made up of women who are strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we pray for the rest of this day. We pray for our worship service to come. Give us ears to hear. Bless our pastor with holy boldness. And help us to enjoy our time fellowshipping around the tables together. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you next week. And we'll be back in Fellowship Hall next week. Yeah, go defrost. Go stand at the sun.